books for $5.95. Using that as the end of the invitation. For now, we'll do $2.82. I know that my Redeemer lives. I know
that my Redeemer lives and reigns for me. I know eternal life he gives from sin and sorrow free. I know that my Redeemer lives. I know eternal life he gives. I know that my Redeemer lives. He wills that I should wholly be in word and thought. I know that my Redeemer lives. I know eternal life he gives. I know that my Redeemer lives. I know that unto sinful men is saving grace. Saving grace is mine. I know that he will come again to take me home on high. I know that my Redeemer lives. I know eternal life he gives.
Self and Self-Management Essays on Existing by the author was Arnold Bennett. It's actually not new. It was pretty old. It was originally published in 1918. And so I'm reading this, and Bennett makes what I thought was a pretty interesting argument. Basically, his whole point was that seeing things in writing forces us to accept them. And so he talks for a little bit about how when we're if you and I were discussing something, we can make the words more impactful or less impactful with the way we deliver, you know, with our voices, our inflection, our timing, all that kind of stuff. And that the written word takes those things away. You know, so if I had bad news I was trying to give you, you know, I would want to deliver it as softly as possible. If I had good news, you know, I might be able to jump right into things. So he makes that point, and then he starts talking about, in this case, the value of diaries, of journals, about writing to ourselves. Basically what he gets down to is that Bennett says it's hard to write negative, honest things about ourselves. I've got a scenario from that essay I'd like to read here. He sets up the scene like this. He says, "Empty your house of all its inhabitants, save yourself. Lock the front door and the back door. Go upstairs to your room. Lock the door of your own room. Pile all the furniture before the door so you cannot possibly be surprised. Light a fire," which tells you how old the essay is. "Place the writing table near the fire. Arrange it so that at the slightest alarm of discovery, you can, with a single movement, push your writing into the fire. Then begin to write down that of which you are ashamed. You are absolutely safe. Nevertheless, you will hesitate to write, and you will have not got very far in your narration before you find yourself writing down something that is not quite so unpleasant as the truth, or before you find yourself omitting some detail which ought to not be omitted. You will have great difficulty in forcing yourself to be utterly frank on paper. You may fail in being utterly frank, and you probably will fail, most people do. When you have finished, and you hold the document in your hand, you will start to feel guilty, as if the newly moved furniture creaks in front of the door. You will read through the document with discomfort and constraint, and you will stick it in the fire and watch it burn and feel a very clear sign of relief." So I read that tonight to say that if you could see yourself in that scenario, you know, if you could see yourself writing something out on that paper that you would hate for somebody else to uncover, something that would make you cringe if it were discovered, you might have sin in your life. That's not a guarantee, of course. You know, things that are embarrassing wouldn't necessarily qualify for that. So we can take a quick look at 1 John chapter 3 and verse 4. We can define sin so we have a better idea of what we're dealing with. This doesn't... 1 John chapter 3, that fourth verse, "Everyone who practices sin also practices lawlessness, and sin is lawlessness." So we have this this idea, we won't go through every possible variation tonight, but that sin is that which is in opposition to God's law. And so, of course, this is significant, defining what sin is. Because we know that despite how we wish we might be able to keep those things to ourselves, we're not going to be able to. In fact, we can't keep them to ourselves because they are already known. If we flip back to the book of Jeremiah, we can see that this idea was established in several places in the Old Testament. So specifically, if you take a look at Jeremiah 23, verse 23 and 24, "Am I a God near, declares the Lord, and not a God far off? Can a man hide himself in hiding places so I do not see him, declares the Lord? Do I not fill the heavens and the earth, declares the Lord?" That idea continues into the New Testament. We can see that picked up in 2 Corinthians 5 and verse 10. Again, 2 Corinthians 5, verse 10 says there, "For we must all appear before the judgment seat of Christ, so that each one may be recompensed for his deeds in the body, whatever he has done, whether good or bad." The verse we covered this evening in the adult class as well, 1 John 2nd chapter, verse 28, talking about how we ought to be abiding in Christ so that when he does reveal himself, we won't be shrinking away from him, ashamed for our conduct. So what all that gets at, that God is omnipresent. He sees all of these things which we are doing, whether or not our fellow men are aware of them or not. But we've seen the negative side of that. There's also a positive to that. In Matthew 28, verse 20, Christ says, "And lo, I'm with you until the end of the day of the age." That's not a terrible situation. Let's take a quick look over at Revelation 3. Revelation 3 and verse 20. For where Christ is speaking there, he says, "Behold, I stand at the door and knock. If anyone hears my voice and opens the door, I will come in to him and will dine with him and he with me." So this omnipresence of God, he sees all the things that we're doing, including those bad things. But at the same time, because he's always there, that means that he's always accessible to us. And when we're trying to turn away from those things, he's there to support us in those moments as well. So if you think back, and I was talking about how hard it is to see negative things written about us because it makes them real and we can't inch away from that delivery in any way. You know, we think about how hard it is to see those things. The flip side of that is also true. You know, we give ourselves to Christ. You know, we'll have a, rather than those negative things written about us, we can see our name in the book of life. And so again, in Revelation, still in chapter 3, fifth verse, he who overcomes will thus be clothed in white garments. And I will not erase his name from the book of life, and I will confess his name before my Father and before his angels. So Christ is seeing all these things that we do, the positive and the negative. He's always going to be accessible to us. We can see that as a negative, or we can take advantage of that, the opportunity that it is for us. That takes me to the end of my invitation tonight. So recall back, if you have things in your life that you have not repented of, things that you would hate for someone to find in a written document, those things are already known. But at the same time, you have an opportunity to be washed of them tonight. If you have not yet committed yourself to Christ, those who are somehow beholden to the invitation, I would encourage you to come forward while we stand and while we sing.
Stand up for Jesus, ye soldiers of the cross. Lift high his royal banner, it must not suffer loss. From victory unto victory, his army shall he lead.
They're out of town?
No.
They're here.
Okay, they're leaving Friday. I'm a little slow, sorry. I'm just kind of trying to glance to see who might not be here. Andrew and Charlotte are still out of town. He's still in training. And so we hope to see them this weekend. Hope to see them back. Anybody traveling away this weekend?
Yeah, would you get in Wilmington?
Oh, that's right. Okay. Occasionally. Oh, yeah, Tina's having a rough go for us. We need to remember her. It's just been a slow process for her, and she's getting really frustrated, and she's getting kind of down. So we just really need to remember in our prayers, and maybe even a call now and then, just tell her you're thinking of her, because, you know, you can get just down on yourself, not coming along as quick as you'd like. And we need to remember, we sometimes forget when we announced it a few months ago, but somebody's going to be having a baby soon, so we just need to constantly remember saying, Samantha, everything's healthy with the baby as time draws near.
Mark,
our merciful Father who art in heaven, Lord, we humble ourselves before you, thanking you for the stay of life you've given us, for the opportunity we've had to come, Father, in this place, and to put the cares of this life to the side for just a little while, and open your word, and to read of the events of things that have happened that you have made available to us. We're so grateful, Father, for your great wisdom in the gospel, in its written form, that we in our age can read it and understand it and obey it. And for as long as time will allow, others will come along and have the same opportunity to come to a knowledge of Jesus and the wonderful sacrifice that he's made and the things that he has made possible for us. Allow us, Father, to dream of the time when we can stand in your presence. We might be able to look at you and behold your glory and not be afraid and not have to worry about dying anymore. We're so grateful, Father, for this, and may these thoughts be in our minds as we struggle in this life to realize that it's only for a little while. And then comes that time when Jesus will come back and your children will be gathered together with you, and we will be in a place where we'll never again have to worry about sin and the troubles and cares of this physical world. Father, we're mindful of those of our number who are sick. We pray that your blessings be upon Tina, that you might lift her spirits and allow her to be a good cheer. That you might heal her, and that you might restore her health to her, that she might be able to rejoin us with a full measure of health. We're mindful, Father, of those of our number who are away. We pray for Tim while he is so far away from us. We take courage in knowing that you are the God of not only this world, but of this universe, and that you are everywhere, and that you can certainly watch over those who are away from us. We pray for those who will be leaving and traveling. We pray that you might grant them safe passage to the destination and return them back again to us safe. Now, Father, we pray for our children. We pray that we will strive to teach them to live an example before them. We'll try to help them in this life, Father, because it is not easy. And especially the young, it's especially difficult for the young people, because we live in such a time where though temptation has always been around, it is so much easier for them to come in contact with. And we just pray that your blessing be upon them, that their hearts and their minds might return to you. Now, Father, please go with us as we depart this place. Please have mercy on our souls. And we make this prayer in Jesus' name. Amen. Amen.